The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For more than a decade, he's been your destination for news, opinion, and passion.
A lot of things that you say inspire me when I talk to other people and when I speak at school board meetings.
Hey, listening to you this morning has got my adrenaline pumping. You're like five consecutive shots of espresso.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for the courage to speak the truth. I want to tell everybody, turn on 990, because you know what? You guys need to hear the truth.
My name is John Fetterwoman.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Welcome in, folks, on this midweek edition. The Republicans gather in Miami tonight, five of them anyway. Trump won't be there, obviously. But Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, Tim Scott, and who am I forgetting? I always feel like I forget one, and I don't remember who it is. Ron DeSantis, I said. Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, Chris Christie. Who's the fourth, fifth?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
I keep forgetting the fifth. Vivek, I'm sorry. No disrespect, sincerely. Not intentional. Vivek. What should come up? Guy Shiraki, who is a very, very active, smart Republican who has been immersed in Pennsylvania Republican politics for a very, very long time. He's a student of them, as a matter of fact. He looks at hard numbers and hard data. And we decided he would be best to bring in today to kind of give us his thoughts. Again, maybe you've heard mine, Guy. We can get down into some of the micro on this, if you'd like, county by county. Maybe you've seen some of it, because I haven't. But broadly, bottom line here, I think if we, as Republicans, don't acknowledge that last night across the board, everywhere you look was about abortion, I think we're kidding ourselves. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. I have a column that appeared, went live this morning on Broad and Liberty, and I lead with that. What are the takeaways from this election, and what do we go ahead? Point one, the election was about abortion, 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 with a little bit of threats of voting rights and threat to democracy, but it's about abortion. And I've said to my Republican friends, I try to make a little light of it. We keep being frustrated. Republicans keep being angry. How much longer are they going to keep doing this? And I say it's like the Philadelphia Eagles doing the brotherly shove. They're going to keep doing it until it doesn't work. It permeates into every race. It permeates into school board races, municipal races, county courthouse races. And we saw for the Supreme Court, Carolyn Carluccio was subjected to that nonstop. So it is first and foremost about abortion. And look, I look at these things, and you and I have discussed it, and you said it, you know, I study it. I study it because, not because I find it fascinating, not because I study it like a scientist studies lab experiments. I study it because I care so deeply like you do about the issues. And we've got to find a way to win. It's not enough to be right. It's not enough. We're learning now. It's not even enough when the Democrats fail. We have to learn how to win. And it's all of these things. And we saw them on display yesterday. It's abortion. We're the bad guys on this. It's amazing that the people that want to save life are the bad guys, but we are. We have to understand that and fix it. It's mail-in voting and harvesting. The second point in my column, to say that Republicans stink in mail-in balloting suggests that they're trying. We don't try. We put no dollars in it. We put no organization in it. Now, there are isolated candidates and isolated counties where they tried, but as a party, we don't do it. We haven't embraced it. We haven't figured out how to explain it, and it's not really complicated. As I've said to your listeners before, Pennsylvania Republicans, when it was just plain old absentee balloting, Pennsylvania Republicans used to beat Pennsylvania Democrats by 2-1. And the third issue is money. They spend more money than we do. Their millionaires and billionaires spend more than ours do. So when you have an issue that evokes emotion like abortion, when they're better at the tactics and get out the vote and ballot harvesting, and when they spend more money, that's a dangerous combination. Emotion, tactics, and money. That's a lot to overcome, and our party hasn't seen itself fit to try and make inroads in any of those things, with the exception of money this time, where we were outspent, but it was more like a factor of 2-1 instead of 5-1. It's a problem.
So let's here's a couple of things I want to tackle. Listen, to be clear, and we've talked about this before, important to me, other than I make this distinction because I think you'll agree. Maybe you disagree. Say if you do. You're a DeSantis guy. You've made no secret about that. That's who you think ought to be the future of the Republican Party. And there are many people in this audience who are not. They're pro-Trump. But I said, and I think you'd agree, I think, even if Trump were literally dead, buried and dead, and Ron DeSantis was the runaway favorite to be the Republican nominee, would last night have been any different, in your view?
Well, I think two things. One is the brand is not what people want. I keep saying it. You know, we're in a land of vegans, and we keep telling everybody how wonderful the steak is. The majority.
But my
of voters,
point. Just one more time. I want to really press on this one point because I want to disabuse people of the fact that if it were a different Republican leading candidate, last night would have been different. And I think anyone who thinks that is fooling themselves.
Oh, it's about our brand. It's about our brand. Look, the president here's where I'll sort of try and thread the needle. President Trump is disliked among swing voters and suburban voters, and we're becoming a more suburban nation every hour of every minute. It's why I spend so much time writing about it. So the damage, here's what I would say to your point, is whatever damage people want to give to Donald Trump, it's happened already. Mm-hmm. It's baked in. So again, I would say it this way, whether you're 100% right that if President Trump left and went to Mars tomorrow, it wouldn't matter, or the other people say it's all his fault. My point is, whatever's happened, happened. It is like it is. Like, Democrats have more money. Democrats are better at mailing. What are we doing about it? The people that are angry at Donald Trump are already angry at him. What are Republicans doing about it? And it's not enough to simply say, well, pick me instead of him. I don't think simply changing a – and here's where you and I agree 100%. It's not – we can't switch out DeSantis or Haley and think all of a sudden our poll numbers were shooting to the 70s. They won't.
Right.
The people, voters don't like our brand. They don't like it. And that's the challenge. Look, here's the thing.
And it will be Trump's challenge. I mean, please don't misunderstand me as saying that I think Trump walks on water and he's going to have an easy time of it getting back to the White. I don't believe that. I think what you just said is exactly right. It's a brand issue.
It's a brand issue. You know, President Trump didn't help with this constituency of suburban voters I'm competing with. But again, Glenn Youngkin, who we all loved, who we're all excited, and his sweater. Glenn Youngkin and his sweater vest worked like a dog. He embraced mail-in ballot. He embraced it all. He campaigned tirelessly. And what happened is the other side outspent him 2-3-1. And when the dust settles, if they're lucky, they're going to go back to what they were, which is the Republicans will run one house and the Democrats will hold another. It's razor thin. He's made Virginia competitive. He's made Virginia Republicans competitive, but not winners. And quickly to this point again about Trump. Again, whether you love him, hate him, or you loved him and you want him to go away, I remind everybody what the Democratic Party and the mainstream media did to everyone else we tried. They loved John McCain. He was a statesman and a straight shooter until we nominated him. And then he was old, mean, crotchety, and he probably had post-traumatic stress disorder, and we can't let a crazy man in the White House. And then he left, and they loved him again. They loved Mitt Romney until we nominated him. And then he had a goofy religion, and he hated dogs until he left. And then the media liked him again. They will hate whoever we pick. Look, we could nominate Chris Christie. They will enjoy that for 30 seconds and then turn on him as being a mean, corrupt, evil, abortion-hating, evil person. So we have to understand that they dislike us no matter what. They will use abortion no matter what. They will use ballot harvesting no matter what, and they will outspend us no matter what. So we better figure this out, because we care about the border, national security, our kids, the economy, the future. We care about this, so we better figure this out. Otherwise, it doesn't matter, and it's an academic discussion.
I couldn't agree more, and let me ask you about that. You just ticked off the issues. I said on every issue, according to polls, and again, I know we don't always rely on those things, nor are they reliable, but according to every – I mean, there was a litany of polling information, data, that came out, to kick off this week that said head-to-head in five swing states, including Pennsylvania, Trump was beating Biden among registered voters. Now, that doesn't mean, as we've well established, likely voters. That doesn't mean people that are willing to turn out. But the point is, as you've said, as is true, as we all understand, on the issues other than abortion, Trump v. Biden, head-to-head in key swing states, the registered voters are choosing Trump. Now, will they turn out ultimately is one question. Another question I think that is not factored in, the left is freaked out about, is an RFK run, RFK Jr., and what does he do, and how does he split that baby if that's the scenario? So talk to me about that for a minute, because this is what's so frustrating. According to every metric on every issue other than abortion, people realize the country's going to hell in a handbasket. People are not marching in the streets for Palestine. Guy, I mean, we're a pro-Israel nation. We're a God-fearing nation. We still are, by a lot.
Yes.
Except on abortion.
Because, again, for 30 years, for 40 years, the people who want to protect an innocent, defenseless baby are the bad guys. But that's why we have to fix it. Look, the problem with polling on numbers is it doesn't measure intensity. Yeah. And it doesn't measure tactics. And here's the thing. We can ask people. We can find the best pollster that, we can pick a pollster that every one of your listeners agrees. We can pick a pollster that every one of your listeners likes and every one of Rachel Maddow's viewers likes, if we can find them. And we could say, this pollster is really sharp and going to tell the truth. They're going to tell you what people think about school choice or what they think about the border. They're not going to measure intensity. This abortion issue sends people the Democrats have been talking about dog whistles for 30 years. This is a dog whistle.
Yes. Yes.
This is a dog whistle. This
so, in other words, if I may, what you're saying is there are people who will say the economy sucks, Biden sucks, I don't like these wars, I'm pro-Israel, I think that we have inflation, I want the border secure, but if you take away abortion, I'll ignore every one of those things.
Yes. And it's particularly the case. Yes, I agree. And it is particularly the case. It is especially the case in the suburbs where more people have the luxury of not. Philadelphia crime is a problem. I just won't go there. The border is a problem, but not on the main line. It's a problem because I see it on the TV, but not. So they have the luxury of hanging Ukrainian flags, and they have the luxury of saying, I'm for abortion rights. Because they can virtue signal, because they live in a world. So my point is, America, every hour, every day, every month, is becoming more suburbanized. That's the segment we're falling behind in, and have been falling behind in it for two decades now. And those are the people who use abortion as something they equate with is something they are for, but it's also something they think they're supposed to be for, and they have to loudly be for, and it's a way you identify people. You're either with us or against us. So we better learn to speak on it. But having said this, look, there, Chris, I do think there's light at the end of the tunnel. We know we have to deal with this in a Nikki Haley type of way. We know that we have to do a...
Hold your thought. I don't want to interrupt you, but just for people that are tuned in and haven't heard this again, I want to remind everyone, because we have a Republican debate tonight. Hold your thought, Guy, but I want to jump in with Nikki Haley's approach on this messaging of abortion. It's the only one that I've heard of any Republican candidate address it head on and do it well. This was a couple of debates ago. Take a listen again.
This is talking about the fact that unelected justices didn't need to decide something this personal, because it's personal for every woman and man. Now it's been put in the hands of the people. That's great. When it comes to a federal ban, let's be honest with the American people and say it will take 60 Senate votes. It will take a majority of the House. So in order to do that, let's find consensus. Can't we all agree that we should ban late-term abortions? Can't we all agree that we should encourage adoptions? Can't we all agree that doctors and nurses who don't believe in abortion shouldn't have to perform them? Can't we all agree that contraception should be available? And can't we all agree that we are not going to put a woman in jail or give her the death penalty if she gets an abortion? Let's treat this like a respectful issue that it is, and humanize the situation and stop demonizing the situation.
All right. So that's what you mean by the Nikki Haley delivery on do you agree, do you like that? And then continue on with your thought, please. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted people to hear that.
No, it's important. No, I like it because it phrases it in practical terms. We as conservatives, we tend to lose when we have idea discussions. We're for freedom and liberty. People don't know what that means. You know what it means? Is it means that Governor Wolf can't lock you in your house. Now everybody understands what liberty means now. So she's saying, in real terms, to her last point on about a woman who's pregnant having an abortion, potentially going to jail for life or having the death penalty. That is a real, whether you and I know,
they believe that.
They genuinely believe. Right. So they look at this, and again, sort of the 19-year-old freshman at Penn State, who's your daughter, who meets a boy and gets pregnant. These educated voters honestly believe that Republicans go up to the Jones family with the 19-year-old freshman daughter at Penn State who's pregnant and say, hey, folks, you have a choice. You're going to have that baby, or your daughter's going to jail for the rest of her life. And by the way, we don't want anything else to do with you. You better figure that out. And that's what they honestly think we believe, that we're going to lock their daughter in a room and force her to give birth like it was 1823, or we're going to send her to prison. So we've lost that debate. We need to explain it, because real lives are
Do we need women to do it? Guy, may I ask, is it imperative that women are leading in the Republican Party on that, do you think?
I think, yes, it would help that all of us have to. Well, look. Yes, it would help if they did it, but it would help if we all understood. The Democrats are so good. The left is so good. They have their fight, and then they all almost sing from the same song sheet. Chris, they sing from the same song sheet. They vote the same. Why do we fixate over Joe Manchin? Because once every 6 months when they talk about energy, he says, no, I'm sorry, I need a pass here. It's because, look, it's like finding a tall Italian. You say, oh, look, here, let's study this. We haven't seen this before. So you do this. So that's it. So, yes, we need women to lead. But, yes, we as a party need to understand. Look, our party has a lot of different thought on what abortion policy should be, generally from a pro-life, pro-baby perspective. But our party has a diversity of thought on how to do this. That used to be our strength. The Democrats make it very easy. It's a woman's choice. Boom. And you say, you guys are monoliths. You're cultists. You know, yes. But everybody in America knows that 99 out of 100 Democrats believe abortion should happen. It's none of your business. And don't ask us about costs. Don't ask us about when. Just woman's choice. None of your business. Because we have all these genuinely thoughtful positions all over the board, have confused the public and allowed the Democrats to define us. So women should lead, men should follow, but we should all participate, because silence equals we want women to die or we want them to go to jail. And you and I don't have to poll that.
No.
Those are losing positions.
So, Guy, I'll close by asking you this. The Republicans, boy, these five people on this debate stage tonight, I'm sure they're going to be asked about this. They're going to have to explain it. And I think, I'm sorry to say that I think they're going to try, all of them, to make this about Trump. And I think it would be a terrible mistake to let tonight's discussion be about Trump, when I think this was about all the things we just discussed. How about you?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Look, I think it has to be about the future. We have to each of them articulate a vision on abortion, but more importantly, articulate a vision of what the Republican Party looks like. Talk about our diversity of thought, but our agreement on goals, that our nation should be secure, that our nation should be strong, that we should be energy independent, that you should be able to walk through our major cities and go shopping and see the sights, that our children should be learning to do math and science. Look, I think they should talk about the facts and figures. I think they should talk about the future. All of the things you checked off on, all the polling number, we're ahead. Our party needs to remind folks that we're on the right side, we're on the majority side, and the others aren't. But folks like Governor DeSantis need to talk about how he won, how you cobble together a majority. That's what people need to hear. So, one, we need to remind the voters the differences between the two parties on the issues. Two, they better each explain in an understandable 30 seconds what their vision of abortion policy ought to be. But third, they ought to explain how we grow this party. We saw evidence of it here in Pennsylvania. David O. lost, but David O. ran 10 points ahead of anybody in the last 30 years because he did so much ethnic outreach. He lost, period. But a Republican who gets 25% instead of 12% is a radically different new kind of Republican. David O. has shown us a way to build bridges with Ukrainians and Nigerians and Vietnamese first-generation Americans. Allegheny County, we elected a Republican DA in Allegheny County last night because the Democrats in the primary picked a Krasner candidate, and the incumbent Democrat ran as a Republican, and he won. There's a
big story. Isn't being told today, by the way. Big story.
Right. Because in Allegheny County, the Democratic Party is having an enormous fight between what we on the East would call the Working Families Party faction and traditional Democrats. And the split got so bad in Allegheny County, in a county where the Democrats have about a 30-point registration advantage, that the Republicans ran a law and order Democrat for DA, and that person beat the Krasner candidate. So my point is three things. Embrace the issue of abortion, explain it quickly. Two, highlight the issues where our party is right and most Americans agree. Talk about the future and how things could be better in education, in the border, in our cities, with energy. And then last, explain how we build our party up and it grows. And the tactics of mail-in voting and all the early voting and all the things that they do well in other states. But talk about what a new Republican Party looks like, how it's bigger, how it grows. Because if we don't talk about it growing, the Democrats are going to continue to eat in it. So I hope they share that vision. I hope they share that vision and make them understand, look, whether the nominee is Donald Trump or one of the people on this stage tonight, we have to explain to the American public what we stand for. But then we better learn how to play the game, because this is not a debate. It's not tonight's event is not about a debate and who wins. It's about who can be the nominee, who can beat Joe Biden and actually do these things that you and I care about. I go back to the beginning. We talk about tactics because we care about these issues. Our country is literally at stake. The border is wide open. Our kids' test scores are falling. Our major cities are a disaster. Gas prices are high and we're dependent on our enemies. Joe Biden's energy policy is leading us off a cliff. These are real problems. We have real solutions. Let's explain that to the American public. Show them we want to be a growing, vibrant party, and then learn how to play the game better than them. If we do that, we win. If we don't, we are going to be the permanent minority party in this nation, and our children and grandchildren will suffer for it.
I will also say it is not a small matter in my mind that when you look at the registration numbers, the total registration numbers in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, according to my math, 2 million Republicans didn't vote yesterday. About 2 million. Does that surprise you?
No, because we have not found a way to motivate lower interest voters, whether it's because they don't believe in our candidates, they don't like our candidates, or they think they can't win. I don't know, Chris, because we don't ask them. What I know is for the umpteenth election since 2020.
Yeah.
Since we invented early voting or mail-in voting with drop boxes, what I know is for every election since it's been allowed and ordered by our court, who we just gave a bigger Democratic majority to, what I know is they outdo us 3-1 or more.
Yep.
So we, again, as I say, it's a 100-yard dash, we wake up the day of the race and we're stretching and doing our calisthenics and leg lifts. And we look up and the Democrats at the 80, it's a 100-yard dash and the Democrats at the 80-yard mark. And we say, you know, but if you really run fast, if you really run. And so the voters you're talking about that don't vote are part of the problem. You know, not them individual, but as a party, we have not found a way to talk to them. The Democrats have found a way to do it. Again, when this was only about absentee ballots, we were the envy of the nation. Pennsylvania and California. I can't believe I'm complimenting California. But Pennsylvania and California were two of the best states in the nation. Everything I've said to your listeners before, Democrats in California used to go to bed thinking they won. And the next day find out they lost because Republican absentee balloting used to swamp Democrats. In Pennsylvania, we would win because we did it better. We stopped playing. We spent so much time complaining they changed the rules. You know, again, we'll go back to end on football. Everybody else doesn't like the tush-push. They're not learning how to do it. The Eagles keep saying, but we're doing it, and they always win. The rules have been changed, friends. The rules are unfair. I don't like it. I wish you and I could go back in a time machine, but they've changed the rules. They've mastered it. We're not even trying. If we don't try, we lose. If we don't win, we don't get to do our things, and they get to do bad things to the country. We are morally obligated to learn how to play the game and do it as well, if not better than them. Our children are counting on us.
Broaden Liberty, RealClearPennsylvania.com, RealClearPennsylvania.com. He's at PA Suburbs Guy on X. He's Guy Shiraki. For a little postmortem on last night. Guy, thanks for the analysis. Outstanding as always.
All right, thank you. We push on because we have to, and we must.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.